Welcome to the Curious Podcast, where we are constantly in the process of getting to the bottom of shit. This week, we will be talking about the area of Shasta Trinity Forest in Siskiyou County, California. Thousands of years, Native Americans of the Shasta, Klamath, Pitt, Modoc, and Wintu tribes lived off the land using the natural and abundant resources surrounding the Mount Shasta location. Due to resources such as gold and silver being plentiful at the time, through the 1800s, mining had begun on the land, railroad tracks were laid, and the timber industry had been cultivated. The area is most known for Mount Shasta, a potentially active volcano that is at the highest point of the forest. The area has attracted the attention of poets, authors, and presidents, and today it attracts the likes of hikers, campers, and nature lovers in general. That's because of the two beautiful views at the top and the forest area surrounding it. The land is huge with over 2 million acres. It boasts a combined 5 wilderness areas and hundreds of lakes, streams, and rivers. However, we aren't going to be talking about this amazing landscape for its scenery or wildlife. Shasta Trinity Forest has a dark side, and many have noticed the chilling pattern over the decades. People keep going missing. Most people visit Mount Shasta with friends, family, or on their own, usually to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city and enjoy some quiet time in nature. Unfortunately, some people never return from their trip. Some vanish without a trace, leaving nothing behind but mystery and wonder. It is very difficult for most people to get to grips with how someone can just vanish or how people can go missing so easily. People don't just go missing, something usually happens to them. Unfortunately, sometimes that does involve murder, but with this, there is usually some sort of closure for the family as to what happened to their loved one. They are also able to bury their body and say goodbye to them in a dignified manner. However, what do you do if your loved one goes missing and there is no trace for years? No body, no clothing items, no clues whatsoever. One day they were alive and well, and the next? Nothing. No updates and no knowledge as to whether they could be in some sort of immediate danger and need help. This is what tends to happen in some large forest areas where there is a lot of wilderness. As these areas tend to be more isolated and further away from civilization as we know it, people going on hikes and following trails are always encouraged to be safe and careful when exploring. You are also encouraged to always have at least one other person with you if you are going on a serious hike. Some professional or more experienced individuals tend to go on their own. If you are experienced and are planning to spend a considerable amount of time on a trail and camp in between, then that's fine as long as you're taking the correct precautions. We may not even know just how many people are going missing in Mount Shasta and similar settings, as some people just go off on adventures without telling anyone. Also, when adults aren't heard from, it isn't as alarming as when a child goes missing. This means that sometimes months or years can go by before someone is even formally reported missing. If a person goes missing in a national park, there can also be added complications. NY Post reports, quote, "The biggest obstacle to getting any information about missing people in the wild, according to Paul Ides, is National Park Service red tape." He speculates that the Park Service conceals the true data on how and where people disappear and how many have actually been found, because it would shock the public so badly that visitor numbers would fall off a cliff, Billman writes. "I don't think there's a grand conspiracy to keep the numbers hidden," he says. "But the National Park Service certainly doesn't advertise that there are dozens of still missing visitors in Grand Canyon or Yosemite, and a county sheriff isn't going to put a missing person on his re-election poster." End quote. The funny thing here is that this podcast is very conspiracy based, and this is a conspiracy I simply stumbled upon whilst researching for this episode. National parks not accurately reporting numbers could potentially be harming the public because they are not able to make an informed enough decision about going to a national park because they don't have the real numbers. If people did have these real numbers, they would definitely not be going to national parks, as beautiful as they are. Data does have some influence over people's decision making. This NY Post article was very interesting as it goes into why hundreds, if not more, people are vanishing in the American wilderness. It also causes you to ask the question, what if the people reported missing in national parks are only the tip of the iceberg? I definitely recommend giving it a read as it puts a lot into perspective in regards to what happens when someone is officially reported missing and how that is handled in such tough terrains. It's also fascinating that if a person goes missing in a national park, search and rescue teams are not required to keep a record of the cases, even after remains are found. I can understand not being able to keep track of every person reported to park staff and police, but not to even have a formal record or some sort of tally within the National Park Service is very odd in my opinion, especially knowing that people are more likely to go missing in these kinds of areas. If this is considered to be normal in America, please let me know because it doesn't make any sense to me. There should honestly be a dedicated missing persons unit of some sorts in every national park and wilderness area. Not sure if I'm the first person to have thought of this idea or if there are issues with budgets and funding, but it looks like a lot of people are going missing regularly, so this should be a priority. Now we will go into just some of the strange and mysterious disappearances in the Mount Shasta area and its surrounding counties. This is the bit where we put on our detective hats. I will also link the source to this information for anyone who may find it helpful. Quote, Angie Fulmer. 10 days before Christmas 2002, 34-year-old Angie Fulmer of Mount Shasta had gifts for her daughters wrapped and sitting under the tree when she went for a drive around Lake Siskiyou with her boyfriend. He reported that they argued, she got out of his truck and walked away. He said he then heard a car door slam, so he believed she got a ride out of the area. The boyfriend reported Angie missing 12 hours later, and she was never seen again. Devontae Morgan. Devontae Morgan was visiting Mount Shasta from the San Francisco Bay Area with his girlfriend at the time of his disappearance. He was last seen on surveillance video walking on Mount Shasta Boulevard on the morning of May 5th, 2020. Morgan's girlfriend told police they got into an argument on May 4th and broke up. The next day, she said he left Coal Creek Inn for a walk. When she was returning to her room, she told police she passed Morgan, but they didn't speak. He was never seen or heard from again. There is a $25,000 reward being offered for information that leads to finding Devontae. Hannah Zakaglini. 15-year-old Hannah was last seen walking to her McLeod home from a nearby friend's house on the evening of June 4th, 1997. She never arrived and was never seen again. The majority of Hannah's personal belongings were left at home, including her clothing, purse, money, hairbrush, overnight bag, and bass guitar. Although a father and son were arrested in connection with her murder in December of 2012, charges were later dropped for lack of evidence. Hannah's case remains unsolved. Rocky Ramirez. Rocky Ramirez, a musician and former firefighter, left Humboldt County on the morning of August the 10th, 2021, on his way to Rica. He was last heard from while in the Hooper area around 12:30 p.m. That evening, the car he was driving was found down an embankment near Happy Camp. Although some investigators have said it appears Ramirez was ejected from the car, his sister, Mona, said, other experts say it looks like he got out of the vehicle. She said she won't stop searching until she finds out what happened to her brother. Betty Jane Lobush. Although Betty Jane Lobush was last seen sometime in May 2019, her disappearance was not reported until July. She was living with caregivers in the 6000 block of Siskiyou Avenue in Grenada at the time of her disappearance. When questioned, her caregivers gave conflicting stories, and at least one person claimed Betty had travelled to Oregon and died of natural causes during the trip. A check of death records in both Oregon and California didn't turn up evidence that she died in either state. Grace Elin Sabbats. Grace Elin Sabbats was last seen at a campsite on State Route 96 near the Klamath River on March 1, 2014. Her car, a light blue 1989 Toyota Corolla, was found abandoned near Skehan River Bar access area. Evidence found at the scene suggested the 28-year-old was hurt or in trouble. Footprints led down to the river but didn't return. Grace was originally from Oakland but had been living in Portland for several years before her disappearance. She owned a cleaning business. There are no suspects in her disappearance and her case remains unsolved. End quote. So what happened to all these people? Where are they vanishing to? It's also very alarming that some of the people reported missing seem to have left their belongings and other important items they would need to get around. People don't just leave their things behind, so there are a lot of theories that have been forged from missing person cases such as these. People want to try and make sense of things, of course, and in that process, there can be some interesting ideas that come to surface, such as Bigfoot. Dave Paulides is one of the people that believe in the Bigfoot theory. He is a former police detective and author of the Missing 411 series and documentary. The Missing 411 was the first thorough research effort dedicated to people that went missing in the North American wilderness under strange or unusual circumstances. Before David, nobody ever took the time to study or go over the archives of these missing cases for similarities or patterns. After David left the police, he became a cryptozoologist. Cryptozoology is classed as the studying of unknown, legendary, or extinct animals whose present existence is disputed or unsubstantiated. Just like cryptids, I covered one of them in my last episode. Be sure to check out episode 70 after you finish listening to this one. Cryptozoologists spend their time studying and searching for the existence of these creatures, which include the likes of the Loch Ness Monster, Yeti, the Chupacabra, and of course, Bigfoot. The main purpose is to evaluate the possibility of their existence in order to give the creatures validity, eventually being recognized by the entire world as real and existing, which is the end goal. One afternoon, David was researching another national park, as he usually does. He was then approached by a local park ranger who had heard that David was a cryptozoologist exploring the area. The park ranger indicated a great deal of concern about the number of missing persons cold cases that had piled up at the National Park Service. After being approached by the ranger, David's interest had piqued. He began his own investigation. Quote, but as David dug in and through endless reports and cold case files, he noticed disturbing trends. In some cases, an easy answer was available. Death by falling, animal attack, exposure to the elements, or illness. But there were some stories that David thought defied simple explanation. People seemingly vanished into thin air. They were there 1 minute and gone the next. Other stories involved tracking dogs that were brought in that either couldn't or wouldn't hunt for the missing. Still, other disappearances seemed to occur more frequently near areas heavy with boulders or close to berry patches. End quote. These unexplained disappearances that seem almost impossible were what really caught David's eye. There have also been incidents around Mount Shasta where hikers have reported walking beside their friend, only turning away for a split second, and then to find that they have completely disappeared once they turn their head back. No trace, not even a sound. Humans are not able to disappear like that the last time I checked, so are these people being taken? If they are, then by who or what? Cryptids are not such a wild theory when in the wilderness. Often these places are cut off from most civilization and they are very isolated. There are a few people exploring them at any given time, and many areas are unexplored or untouched as most people don't go too deep into the forest for fear of getting lost. Who knows what could be within the thick, leafy terrains in the deeper forest area? In 2011, David Paulides founded North America Bigfoot Search. He believes that some of these cold cases may involve a creature unknown to man. Based on David's research, there are at least 1,600 people missing in the wild somewhere in the United States. The question is, what happened to them? Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. If you're into the strange, morbid, or curious, I'll see you in the next episode. Stay safe, stay curious, for real.